Hi, Kurt.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, just on James Bentley, because we've not spoken about him. He's obviously going to be at the club next season. What excites you about his capture and signing?
Yeah, so when I recruit in particular, Mick, when I take it to the board and to Jason Hurst and Brian Noble, I have a few things that I look at. I go at professionalism, competitor and aggressor, and James ticks all of them boxes. We know he plays close to the edge of the line, which I don't mind. And I've had this conversation with James when he signed, if ultimately that's over to him. If he crosses the line, the repercussions come with that. But ultimately, flirting with that line at times is not always the worst thing in the world.
Just on his sort of natural aggression, intensity that he brings to his game. I know you said you've had a bit of a talk with James already, but is that something you're going to look to control, or are you just going to let James play his way?
No, there's been far better coaches that coach James better than what I have, and I'm not going to be the bloke who sits here and says I'm going to sort his discipline out. He knows what comes with him with his discipline. He knows that I like parts of his aggression and the way he plays, but the rest of it's over to him.
Brian Noble spoke about players wanting to play for the club for the right reasons. How important is that to you and the club?
Yeah, it's very, very important. And I think I've shown that in particular the way I've recruited with the likes of Cameron Scott, John Bateman, James Bentley, bringing boys back who are serial winners who want to play for the Bulls, almost come to me before I've come to them. So yeah, I think we've shown as a club, and what I've identified is trying to bring the Bradford boys back home shows that how much it means for people of Bradford to see their own playing in a Bradford shirt.
And I'm kind of guessing from a sort of club's culture, identity and standards point of view, that's all intertwined and goes hand in hand.
It does, yeah. It does, Mickey, right? And also what I will say, if that player doesn't suit my style of play as well, I'll not sign him. Whether they're from Bradford or not, they have to suit how I want to play, how I want to defend and attack. And ultimately, all them blokes do, they understand the style of play I want to play and the way I want to defend, and they all fit that mould.
Just on the Wigan game, obviously disappointing to lose, but I think you said post-match there were some periods of progression from that Warrington game. What pleased you the most?
Yeah, just some parts of our kick chase. We had to be better at kick chase. If you watch the top teams of the competition, when that ball's left the half's foot, they sprint to defend their first three plays. We didn't do that well enough against Warrington. I thought we did it better against Wigan for a large part of the game. And just some of our style back a little bit more. We had some more personnel in there who understand how we want to play. So a little bit more of our style of play was back.
I know it's been touched upon already, but bottom on points difference, how significant is avoiding last place for you and the players?
Yeah, again, we've spoke about it today. It's the first day we've really addressed it today. I'll keep what I said and what the players said in-house internally. But yeah, it's certainly something that's going to drive us for the rest of the season. Especially in the days and the training sessions where we're fatigued and we're tired because you've got a lot of players playing Super League for the first time and you've got blokes playing injured. But right now, we cannot feel sorry for ourselves because we've got to get off the bottom of that ladder.
You won't thank me for pointing this out, Kurt, but Joe Keyes, Chris Atkin, along with Callum Aikins, it was the 14th different spine that you've had this season in 25 competitive games. Just how frustrating and, you know, how has that affected, you know, the attacking development side of things for you?
I think you would have asked me this 2-3 months ago, I'd have been frustrated, but I'm just at a point now, Mick, where it's happened, it keeps happening. We've got to get on with it. I actually knew that statistic because Chris Atkins actually told me today. So Chris Atkins, a very studious rugby man, highly intelligent young man, and he's picked out to me that stat you've just told me, so I wasn't overly shocked when he told me that, but I'm past the point of frustration. We've got to do whatever we can with who plays there, and ultimately, if we've got to strip it back a little bit, we'll strip it back.
Just on the recent results, obviously disappointing, but has there been any sort of positive traits, cultural elements, you know, that you've seen from your players that gives you confidence heading into next year?
I think culturally, I get a lot of confidence. I've said this numerous times, a coach, a fantastic group of men. There's been some really tough conversations with blokes who won't be here next year between myself and the player. We've always been very open, very honest. So when you have that kind of relationship with your group and with your players, and there's no grey areas and you don't lie to them, you get full buy-in. And I've had that all year since day one that I've come here because we've been open, transparent and very honest. And ultimately, they're a very close group of men who get on well and they appreciate the honesty of what I found.
Just on Connor Wynn, Brandon Douglas, Rowan Milnes, are we likely to see them in the final four games of the season, Kerr?
Same again, which names?
Connor Wynn, Brandon Douglas, Rowan Milnes.
Possibly Connor, but the other two we probably won't see for the rest of the year.
Are they likely to be added to the 10-11 that are already out for the season?
They're added to it, yeah.
They're added to it, right, no worries. And obviously beyond results, is there any sort of performance markers, you know, that you're giving to your players about the last four games against, you know, Leeds, Toulouse, Castleford and York, which would, you know, in your eyes, be a successful end to the season?
We have markers every week, Mick. We have a bit of a system that we use for every game. And if we hit them systems, we win games. If we don't hit the majority of them, we lose games. So we have markers set. They won't change for the last three games of the season, four games of the season, sorry. So we know exactly what we need to do. We know the metrics we have to hit to win games. And that won't change no matter who we play.
Just finally, Kurt, is there a particular message or focus that you're giving your players to in? Sure, they finished the season with momentum and pride rather than, I guess, feeling sorry for themselves and just, you know, playing out the final four fixtures.
Yeah, it's just very much, it's a moment in time where we can't feel sorry for ourselves. You know, there's some blokes who'll never pull on the bullshit again after this season. You know, we've got to put a performance in for them. And there's a lot of injured boys who we want to put performance in for. We've still got blokes who are fit and still fighting. So, yeah, we won't give up. We'll keep scrapping and we'll do everything we can, especially playing that Bradford Bulls shirt.
Cheers, Kurt. All the best for Friday. See you Friday.
Good, man. Thank you. Cheers, guys.
This is West Yorkshire Rugby League Radio with Mick the Game Caller Gledhill.